have his promise that whenever there are two or three gathered in his name, he's present. It's almost like a wonderful way to say, you're welcome, Lord Jesus, and thank you for being with us. God is present everywhere, but I guess that he is exceedingly joyful to be with his children, and that's his church, whenever the church meets, in whatever circumstances the church meets, he's ready to love us, each one of us, in the ways that we definitely don't deserve, but in the ways that we need. This morning I will continue the idea, the thought that the Lord had placed on me last Sunday, and as I was thinking about it, it looks like it's going to hold for the whole month and even on to September. So let me explain a little bit before I start, you know, what's going to come. So we started with eyes to see, and that came from Genesis, the story of Hagar, and so on. What's next, Lord, what's next? Well, ears to hear. So this Sunday we will explore this idea of hearing, of listening. And as I was thinking, guess what? Well, we've got a mouth to proclaim, to speak. We have a mind to renew. We have a heart to give out. We have feet to walk, and we have hands to work. And then finally, to top it up, the whole body. So this, you know, from now on, each Sunday when I'm preaching, we'll pick up one of the organs that God has given us and see what the Bible tells us about it. Because as I mentioned before, towards the end, actually, our whole body is his. And we'll get to that passage, to that scripture, when the time comes. So this morning, we have ears to hear. I'll read the passage from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, and then we'll continue. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from the town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word that we're going to, well, use it and see what the Lord tells us through about our hearing, about our ears. Let me pray first. Heavenly Father, to you belongs glory and honor. And we are already thankful for what you are willing to tell us, what you are willing to say, what you are willing to speak about. And indeed, we pray that we might have ears, and we might have that kind of ears that hear, so we might hear what you are saying. We pray that you make us good listeners. And we are giving thanks for all of us here and other places where people gathered to hear what you are saying. We also give you thanks for the resources that have been offered, and we pray that may be blessed and multiplied in the way that only you know how. And again, we are thankful. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen. Amen. So let's see what we have about hearing. Before I start, I have to do this disclaimer, in the sense that somehow in the Bible, and I touched on this with Peter this morning, hearing and listening at times are used interchanged. So sometimes you'll find that the word listen is used when it should be hearing, for example, and sometimes hearing it's used when it should be listening. Of course, there's a difference between these two words, but as I said, often they are used interchangeably. So some of the statements that I make might seem incorrect or might seem to allude to listening, but don't take it like that. So let's see. The Bible has quite a lot to say about hearing. And we thought about it. Because we read those parables in passages and sometimes skip, or what, we don't hear them. So the Bible has quite a lot to say about hearing. Today we will explore some of the things that the Bible has to say. In a sense, every time when we participate to a church service, every time we read a book, every time we listen to something, we are testing our hearing. What I mean by that is we are exercising our capability to retain what is being said. And you know by now that the percentage of what people remember or hear in a sermon is about 95%, or 5%, put it that way. The 95% is forgotten, or people never heard it actually. Because even maybe as I speak, you might be thinking about other things. I don't know about that. It's only you who know. But even when we are part of a church service, we are exercising this, or we are testing our hearing to see what do we hear. Do you remember, have you heard what I said 2 Sundays ago? I gave you a work for home, a homework. Nicole alluded to it this morning. The difference between a church service and a home group gathering meeting. I've got a list, and probably next time I'll sneak it somewhere and show it, and I will invite, if you remember, I invited discussions and talks about, you know, what the difference, and yes, some of them, of those differences have been. So, say, I'm testing your hearing. Yeah. One of the most repeated reminders, actually, in the Bible is both Old Testament and New Testament, is this: he who has ears to hear, let them hear. You'll find it numerous times. It would be worth to make a little bit of a study to see every occurrence of it, and you'll see what we get from there. Part of it is going to come out this morning. So one of the questions is, what's there to hear? What's there to listen to? Now, we have to admit that our physical ears are limited in what sounds they can process. The frequency that we can hear are limited. We don't hear all the frequencies that are there, all the sounds that are there. Other creatures that God has created have that ability to hear different frequencies which we don't hear. And one of the examples is actually, you know, dogs, for example, they have a much larger frequency span that it can hear, high pitch. We might not hear it, but they hear it, and so on and so on. So our ears are able to hear only certain sounds and certain frequencies, which means we have limited hearing. And one of this truth is exemplified in the Bible. For example, we cannot hear the stories that the skies proclaim. Interesting, isn't it? Day after day they do it. And there are such stories and proclamations. We read Psalm 19, starting with verse 1 and towards verse 3, is the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, a day passes on to another day. No sounds, nothing is being heard, and yet the proclamation is there. We can hear it. But think and imagine in your thinking that every day proclaims God's glory and passes on the story to another day and to another day, and so on it goes with those stories. Unheard, but present. We can hear them. We can hear them. We might have some reaction to the things we see, but we don't hear those things. At times we have selective hearing, which means that while our ears are constantly picking sounds from the surrounding area, we are able to set an extent to hear only what we want to hear. That means it's a selective hearing. So it sometimes, no matter how noisy it's in around us, we can hear what we want to hear. For example, during my sermon, no matter what car passes on, even if the ambulance goes on blaring, you can still hear my sermon if you are listening. Well, something like that. Just think about the children. You think they are playing. You think that. Don't think. They are hearing everything you say. They are like recorders, audio recorders. You think that they don't know, they are registering, they are hearing. Well, those who have children, let them hear what I just said. We have also selective hearing in the sense that sometimes we can look at a person and we can nod with our heads, but we have no idea what they said because our thoughts are, or our mind is churning other things, so we cannot be attentive listeners. So that's us. See, that's us. Now, God created us with this capability to hear. It's a gift from God. Admittedly, some people are missing on this gift. They might have a limited hearing, or they might not hear at all. And hence, we have in the Bible and we have around us people that are deaf. But initially, originally, the default of our being is that we can hear. God has given us this capability to hear. He expects us to hear. He wants us to hear him. Come with me in the garden, again, in the initial garden, in the Garden of Eden. You remember what God said? He said to Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. So, did he expect Adam and Eve to hear that command? To listen? Yeah. Yeah, of course, he expected them to hear it, to listen. Did they? No. They might have heard it. And see, here it's a bit of a, they heard it, but did they act on it? It's similar with not hearing it at all. So God expects us to hear him, to hear his voice. Now think about this fact, which actually is standing out in the Bible. Choosing the Israelites, the Israel people as his own people, God choosing them to be their, his people, he wanted them to hear him. And hence we have this, the most famous, in a sense, sentence in the Old Testament made specifically for the people of Israel. And this sounds like, hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we have, this is called the Shema. You have in a newsletter, I put a little bit of an inset there, what even today the Jews are using this affirmation, this proclamation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And they say constantly, twice a day, the religious ones. Because God wants them to hear that their God, their Lord is one. And not only that's one, it's also a live one, it's a living God, and so on. So, looking on the Bible, on its entirety, what's there to hear, what's there to listen to? And I will say that, like the passage that we read, we are to hear the Word of God. We are to hear the Word of God. And in the portion that I read towards the end, after saying that parable, the Lord Jesus just said, he called out, in a sense, almost like called them to be attentive. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So it wasn't just a story. It wasn't just a make you feel good story. It wasn't just a piece of information. And it wasn't just a structure in which we now can say that there are four types of soil and so on. It wasn't that. It was for whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Because there is something inherent in that story. It's something in what God says that it's important and it's worth retaining. And not only retaining, as memorizing, but living out. So we have this admonition to hear the word of God. Even Paul at one point, he says, how would they respond to the gospel if they can't hear it? And of course, how can they hear it if there is no one to proclaim it? But the thing is, it is the response of hearing the word that our lives changed. It is the response of hearing what the word of God is telling us that we are able to improve our spiritual life, are able to renew our mind. We'll get it to later in the month, next month. It is the word of God. It is important. At one other point, our Lord, talking with the Pharisees, he put this way: what does the law say? What do you read in it? They knew the law, and the Pharisees, they knew it by heart, almost every dot and point in every time. But it's also a matter of reading, how you read it, how you understand it, how you hear it, how you take it to you. Because the letter, the law, can be, and it is in a sense, stone, immaterial. What gives life to the word of God written is the Spirit of God, when we allow it to enter into our mind and soul. So one thing that we are on a constant lookout when we read the scripture, or when we hear a sermon, or when we hear someone, is to hear the word of God. What is God telling me? What is God telling us? And so on. Hear the word. What else is there to hear? Hear the voice of the Son of God. And this is particularly pertaining to salvation. But let me start with something else before, because it is again God's desire that we listen to his Son, listen to Jesus. And remember, after the baptism, yes, we remember after the baptism of Jesus, a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came out from the cloud: this is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Hear him out. Listen to what he says. And here, the word listen has this also understanding of do and obey what he says. And then the New Testament comes full on this actually encouragement: obey his commands. We are his friends if we obey. That means we listen, we hear what he's saying, and we obey his commands. So hear the voice of the Son of God. But it has, as I mentioned before, salvific influence. Because John writes in chapter 5, verse 25, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Does this make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. How can a dead person hear? How can a dead person hear? See, yes, it can be taken in two directions. Spiritual. A spiritually dead person will hear the voice of God and will live. What about Lazarus? What do we make out with the Lazarus story? Was he dead or not? Spiritual? Physical? Both? And yet when Jesus called him, he heard. See? So it is something for us to think that when the Son of God calls, there is no other option but to answer, even when you are dead. And that's why at the end of times, all the dead people will rise, because the Son of God will call them. That's the voice of the Son of God. They will hear the voice of the Son of God. And it's only the voice of the Son of God who can raise people from the dead. But that's possible. It is possible. In a salvific way, when someone hears the word, and indeed hears God's word, they live. They become living persons. Ephesians chapter 2, it's a gift of God. But when we were dead, he called us to life. So hear the voice of the Son of God. Now, that's almost like, it is a command, but it depends, and it is a gift of God. We have to understand that. It is a gift of God. Some other thing, one more thing before I'm sort of approaching the conclusion. The other thing that we can hear is hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And this pertains more to saved people, to the believers, to us, to most of us. We ought to hear the shepherd's voice. We have to hear. And we read in John chapter 10, verse 3 and around, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. They hear the voice, listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It's the voice of the good shepherd. And we have to be careful. Jesus says that there are other people calling the sheep. Bad shepherds, bad people, false teachers, and so on. Those are all voices, have voices that are calling the sheep in a way or another. And yet we ought to listen to the voice of the good shepherd, of the Lord Jesus. And see, along these lines come so many warnings in the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament. New Testament basically is, be careful what you are listening. Be careful whom you follow. And Jesus himself, the many will come. Many will come and say this and this and that. Don't listen to them. Of course, because he wants us as his sheep to listen to his voice. This is what we have to hear. We have to have our ears trained. And this is a wonderful case where we should exercise our selective hearing. Just his voice, no other voice, no other cacophony of sounds without him. Well, see, these are a few things that I found that we ought to hear, to listen to. Now, the question, might arise, is there a possibility for us to improve our hearing? Does the Bible say something about improving our hearing? Well, it does if we hear it again. So the Bible hints at the fact that in certain situations, our hearing improves. Silence improves our hearing. I think that's valid even generally speaking. Silence improves our hearing. And we read in Psalm 62, verse 11, if you read the whole psalm, it starts with just waiting out, being still, being in silence, actually, because some of those words there are translated as silence. And then in verse 11, Psalm 62, verse 11, we read that one thing God has spoken, and I heard twice. Wouldn't you call this an improved hearing? I would. I will. I am. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, God, are strong and powerful, but also steadfast in love. But the idea is that God has spoken only once, and he heard it twice, because he was really, or had a hearing improved because of the silence. And see, here comes the meditation. Here comes the quiet times. Here come other things that along the years the Christian faith put in place and so on. And not only the Christian faith. Remember, even Habakkuk was also at his place waiting in silence, in patience for the Lord to speak. And remember also the psalmist sometimes says, how long, O Lord, will it take until you answer, you tell me something? But you wait in silence. Your hearing improves. The Lord speak once, you hear twice. We hear twice. It's a way to improve our hearing. When we keep silence before the Lord, we hear him better. Is there a perfect time to hear to God? Is there a perfect time to listen to God? The Bible, I think, tells us that there is a perfect time, the most profitable time to listen to him. Do you have an inkling when? Now, today. Now, today. Yes, now, today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, the Holy Spirit says, today, today, if you hear the word of God, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And we have an example, and the example is given of people of Israel who have heard God so many times. And yet there was always, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, it never came. And so their hearts became hardened. But the Spirit of God is always saying, listen now, listen today, hear now, hear today. When you hear, that's the time when you answer. That's the time when you have to listen, in a sense, to obey what is being said. I believe that we have explored a few of the things that the Bible says about our hearing. And of course, apart from hearing, it's also important to remember, to retain what's being said. When we think about it, there are not many variables in God's word. There are not many or not so many different messages or statements that we have to hear from the Bible. There are a few which are important, and then there are the others which are, I would say, supplementary. And when I say this, I'm thinking about the Gospel of John, when he, towards the end, he writes that these things have been written so that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he puts this when, saying that Jesus did so many other things. So many other things. If they would be all written down, many books would be written. But there are certain things that are important for having that eternal life, and we ought to focus on those. So back to our memory, we don't have to memorize the whole Bible. It's good to, and it becomes helpful, because we'll be able to respond to those who challenge what we believe. It is helpful. I'm not saying don't memorize, but it's not necessary. Don't feel like you are not up to the standard or something. But it's important to hear those things that are necessary for salvation, are necessary for us in the process of sanctification. So it's good to hear. The last book of the Bible, I think that contains the most of the whoever hears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, read the book of Revelation and see how many times that sentence is put there. It looks like, when we think about it, I'm not saying that it's a direct purpose of this case, using so many challenges to hear in the last book of the Bible, but it seems to me the case that as the days progress, as we are coming closer to the day of the Lord's coming, it's important for us to hear the Spirit and not other teachings, not other noises, not other prophecies and so on, because there are so many of them in the world. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let it be that God will grant us ears that are attuned to the voice of the Spirit, so that might we always be on His side, might we always be the people who actually hear God. May God bless us with this sort of ears.